All right, can I call the choir? Come on up, get in the choir. We'll start the service in about 2 minutes. Thank you.
sing that song with them. Turn to number 431. If that's your testimony, save, save. Let's all stand. Still turning. Let's sing out. Let's go ahead and play that again. All right, here we go. I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love
enjoy life until you get born again. I'm not talking about religion or joining the church. I'm talking about getting saved by the grace of God. It's the only way you'll ever have joy in your life. But so glad you're here. Man, we had 16 in the junior class today. Rick, Kelly's in the nurse in the choir here, but I think Rick's fixing to go and lay down in the car for a little while, get a little rest. No, I appreciate the two of them taking care of that class the way they did. Man, I love seeing all these little kids around. I know some of them are visiting, but hey, man, I'm just grateful that they're here. And so good to have all of you here. Appreciate you coming. We've got some more coming in. I see. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on the service, and then you and the audience can be seated, and the choir will sing another number. Father, we love you today, and what a joy it is to be in the house of God on the last Sunday of the month of March. Hard to believe that April's right tomorrow and around the corner. And so, Father, we're grateful, though, for what you've done for us thus far, not only in our personal lives, but here at Anchor Baptist Church. Father, we do pray for the service today, that you'll bless it, that you'll be honored by our worship. And Father, we're not here, we shouldn't be here to get something, we should be here to give something. And that is our worship and praise to the God who loves us and who gave his Son to die for us. But Father, I pray and thank you for every visitor that's come. So good to see all the children here. What a blessing that is to my heart to see the little ones here and their parents, and we're grateful for that. But Lord, I pray you'll bless the choirs that sing another number, and then all that's done throughout the remainder of the service, but most of all, save that one that's closest to hell today. That one who's struggling, that one who may have questions
Lord, about why things happen the way they do. Well, Father, I pray that throughout the service today they'll get the answer they're looking for, or at least they'll come to the realization that the God of heaven has it in His filtering hand. We love you and thank you for all you do now. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I appreciate the applause there, youngins. All right, let's stand. We've got some visitors with us this morning. Let's stand. We're going to greet each other, give the choir a chance to come down.
All right. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing. And I'm glad for that day when we all get to heaven. Amen. I'm so glad that you're here today. So good to have all of you back. Good to have Miss Samuel back. And tell me your name again, sir. Nathaniel. They were here last week. And good to see them back. And Victor. Good to see you, Victor. Haven't seen you in a while. He lives up on the other side of Charlotte. And when he's down this way, he's got people he visits here. So when he's here, he always comes to church. And so I just mentioned to Judy the other day, I said, I haven't seen Victor in a while. And so I'm glad we probably should have sang Victory in Jesus just on for him. So we're glad to have you back, brother. God bless you. Good to see all of you here. We do have a few folks out still. Brother Aaron Martin's got this stuff's got his tonsils all messed up. And so you pray for him. And Cherie's here, but we still got several people kind of battling this stuff. You know, you look at their eyes and they're all puffy, and you know, we all suffer with that stuff. It started raining right before Sunday school, but then I think it did about 4 drops and quit. So about 4 grains of pollen have been washed away. So I hope. Normally I hate rainy weather because to me it makes me feel gloomy. But I'm telling you, if it would pour down rain all day today, I would shout because it would wash all his mess. You know, God, that's how God. Water. I understand. Don't go out and say the preacher he hates God because of the way God does things. It's not the way. I'm telling you this. If you suffer with any kind of allergy like this, it can be devastating. Brother Ed's on his second round of 3 antibiotics because of this stuff. I appreciate him being here. Anyway, you pray for the folks that are not able to be here. Of course, continue to pray for Brother Jim Clower, Nora Blevins, Molly Melendez. Jimmy, how's your dad doing? Good. They had to. Oh, they put him on different. So did they actually do the shock thing for him? They just did it with medication? Okay. He had, if you remember, Wednesday night I told you that they had to take him to the hospital, and they found out he had AFib, so his heart was out of rhythm. They were going to shock it back, but instead they gave him medication, and it did the trick. So thankfully he didn't have to go through that, but he's at home now and recovering. So pray for Pete Peterson, and appreciate you doing that. Of course, they were here last Sunday when Jimmy sang. And so, but pray for Pete. Then Donnie McLeod, let's continue to pray for him, a neighbor of Tina's. And one thing I want to mention real quickly, just for you to put on your calendar now that April is here, or about to be, April, the of course, the 28th. What's the day of the Jubilee? 27th, okay. And then starting on the 28th, the following Sunday and through Wednesday, Brother Brian Gurley is going to be here with us in revival. And, of course, his wife, Devin, is speaking at the ladies' meeting, so that just worked out really well. And so I want you to mark that on your calendar, Sunday through that Wednesday, so it's the 28th, 29th, 30th, and the 1st. I think that's right, of May. So see at the end of the month, but still we want you to remember that. And so mark that on your calendar, and Brother Brian's praying. We love Brother Brian Gurley. We've had 2 wonderful revival meetings with him, and I know, what a preacher he is, and so hope you'll mark that down. The new Call to Glories for April, this is the last Sunday of the month, so we've got your new Call to Glories. Your devotional booklets are on the table back there. Be sure and get one. If you don't use this, please get one, not the kids. We don't want the kids getting them. This is just for the adults. If you'll get one, because we have a limited supply. Now, if we see that we need more, we can always start ordering more, but we don't want to pay for more and then not get used, and then we have to get rid of them or something. So, but if you use these, and these are, Brother Joe Hoskins told me, is one of the best book devotion books he's ever used. And Joe's 87 years old, so he's been around a little while. But anyway, you be sure and get one. They're on the table, and I'll put this one back there, too, so that we'll have that back there as well. All right? All right, Brian.
All right. Today, after you eat lunch and get rested just a little bit, the ensemble is meeting at 4:00. Practice, shoot the messenger. He told me that. 4:00 for the ensemble and 4:30 for the choir. Now Easter kind of snuck up on us. It's only 3 weeks away, and then Cross Sunday is only 2 weeks from now. So I think we got some work to do, but we're doing good. The ensemble at 4:00, choir at 4:30. Okay, everybody. Then the service will be at 5:30. We hope to have you all back for that this evening. Wednesday night we'll be here at 7:00. Now, this week is it'll be the first Thursday of the month, so that'll be the service at the Waterford on this coming Thursday at 7:00. And on Saturday will be the men to meet here for Sewing Saturday, 10:00 here at the church. Hope to have a good number to go out knocking on doors. And the ladies, y'all had 10 or 11 go yesterday to Bible Baptist up there. So I know y'all had a good time. I heard all about it. There's another meeting up at Timmonsville at Liberty Baptist. That's Brother Hatchell's church, and I think a lot of us know him. But they're having a meeting on Saturday the 13th. That's in Timmonsville. Is that Florence County up that direction? I don't even know. Yeah, it's in that direction. So I think the meeting's at 10 o'clock. If it's where I think it is, I think you're probably leaving the church in around 8:30, probably something like that. That'll be Saturday the 13th. Okay, for you ladies to file that away. We'd hope to have the same good number to go to that meeting. I think Miss Judy said that y'all going to call it the Jubilee Van, or the Ladies Jubilee Van, because y'all have such a good time on the van, I guess. I don't know. They're going to load up that van again to go to Timmonsville on the 13th. So keep all these things in mind, and stay busy for the Lord.
I'm sorry, 355. 355 will give you a chance to find it. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. 355, let's stand together. We'll sing the first and last stanzas. All right, sing out now. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall this praise begin? This grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Wonderful grace of heaven for me, broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most divine, by His transforming power, making Him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of singing this morning. You can be seated.
Amen. Thank you. All right, ushers, come on ahead. And while they're coming, Brother Daniel's niece, right? Or is it Heather, right? She back there with the little one? Okay. She was here with... She back. Okay. She's actually visiting today, but she's got the... Is Emily, right? Emily? Cutie pie. She's a cutie. But boy, she's wide open. So she's two. And but so we're glad. I hate she's not out here where everybody could have met her, but be sure and meet her before you leave. Her name is Heather, and we're glad to have her as well as Daniel's sister. Good to have Anthony back. He's been back and forth home. And when he first came in, I thought he was a visitor because he's wearing glasses. And I didn't recognize him, but he wears contacts. But he likes to do what the Bible talks about, you know, about the land. After so many years, you've got to let the land rest for a year. So he lets his eyes rest from contacts for a week or two and then puts them back in. So that's why when he first came in, I thought, oh, boy, a visitor. And he is kind of a visitor. But anyway, we're glad to have Anthony back with us as well. And so just keep that in mind. Please, I want to ask you to start really, I'm serious and always serious when I say this, but about praying, we need some more room. We need another building of some type. We need a Sunday school wing. The whole purpose of building this building was we built the back of it, built the roof line so that we could build either a single or two-story education wing behind it. Well, then the county got involved and made us put that dry pond back there. And they told us we could move it. Now, listen, we thought it would cost about $30,000 to dig that hole. What it is, a retention pond, because they don't want rainwater going into the sewer system. Of course, this is all sand. But anyway, so we put it in. It wound up costing $125,000 to dig that hole. And they said, you can move it. If you move it, it'll cost another $150,000. Dig a hole. I figured I'd get Joaquin and John out there with a shovel. We could have her done in a week or two. But no, so we're having to try to think of some other ways and some other things. And so we've got room across over here that we could use. But anyway, we're either just pray that God will meet the need either with a building. Now, to build a building similar to this one, not obviously not quite this ornate, but something similar to this. I'm talking about with a fellowship hall, kitchen, and some Sunday school classes would cost almost as much as this cost. And so we can't go quite that way unless somebody here today has about $300,000 just in your billfold and it's just sitting there not doing anything. I'm gonna tell you what, if Joaquin and Steve went back to count the offering at the end of the service and Steve broke through the door and jumped out a window, then I would know that somebody put that money in there. But no, we really need to be praying, and God can provide either the money to build a building or a modular type building, you know, like a modular home situation where it's kind of already built and you just bring it and put it up, or even a mobile classroom like some of the schools use, something that we could place on the property. Of course, we would fix it up and make it as nice as we could. I've actually contacted the school system a couple of times over the last few years, and they always tell me that because I guess Richland County is growing in some areas, so that they don't have any of those mobile classrooms available. But I was put in contact with a man, or I'm going to contact in this coming week, in fact, who kind of is a broker for that kind of thing. He lives in North Carolina, but he works all over the Southeast. So I'm going to try to call him this week and find out maybe if he could connect us with something, because we really do need some space. I'd like to have room to have children's church and be able to put the kids out, you know, not just because of these certain things, you know, they're not very noise protective, but really we need some additional space. So please, in your prayer time this week, ask God if it's His will to provide the means necessary to do that. Okay, so I want you to make that a matter of prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, though, and ask His blessing on the offering. Father, once again, we're grateful for this opportunity to give a portion of that which You've blessed us with. I pray that everybody here who loves God and who knows the Lord will tithe and give offering as You lead them. And Lord, especially the members here, Lord, that's how the church operates, how we keep the lights on and keep the ministry going. So, Father, I pray that You'll continue to bless as You've done already throughout this first part of the year. And we'll give You the praise, the honor, and the glory for all You do. Bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before Pastor comes, the quartet's coming to sing. I think they actually have two numbers this morning. Listen to the quartet.
Some people say this old-time religion is just a thing of the past. But in this modern day that we're living, it's the only thing that will last. You may think I'm a little old-fashioned. Well, friend, that's all right with me. But I'm so glad that I am a Christian, that from sin I have been set free.
I know, there's no doubt about it. He lives in my heart. And I'm gonna shout it, I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven.
Not long ago, at an old-fashioned meeting, I knelt on my knees there in prayer. He lifted my burden, then shackles fell from me, and His presence was surreal everywhere.
Now the load that I carry is lighter, and He changed all my gray skies to blue. My steps are now higher, for I have His assurance that His sweet love will carry me through.
I know, there's no doubt about it, He lives in my heart. And I'm gonna shout it, I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven.
Come go with me to that land over yonder, He's prepared for the pure and the true. It's a place where sickness and death cannot enter. I'm going there, how about you? Maybe today or maybe tomorrow, He'll return with a robe of pure white. I'm packing up now, getting my things together. Who knows, He may come tonight.
I know, there's no doubt about it. He lives in my heart. And I'm gonna shout it, I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. I know, there's no doubt about it, He lives in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it, I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven.
Yes,
I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Come go with me to a place that's called heaven, heaven.
You all hear Steve and John, as these folks play this. This is one of the, this is an old Baptist faithful song that, and Brother Steve burns the piano up when he plays it so that I have to get it tuned every time he plays this thing. So we're going to let John play it because John's a little easier, and we'll let Steve sing on this. But it's a great song that talks about not quitting. And most of you know it. It's called Keep on the Firing Line. Got to have the words.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. Coward in the service, he will find no place. But keep on the firing line. You must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God in the right, just keep on the firing line. God will only use a soldier He can trust. Keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Keep on the firing line. Life is but to labor for the Master here. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Grant you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. You must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. How we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the path of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. You must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God in the right, just keep on the firing line. If you would win for God in the right, just keep on the firing line.
All right, his pastor's turn to take a breath now, so, oh, he's here already.
You liked that, didn't you, Tim?
Oh, I did. All right, get ready now, listen as a pastor.
Amen. All right, well, no matter how it sounded, keep on the fire line, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 29 this morning.
This is a message that the Lord gave, and I was actually going to preach it tonight. But I don't know. I got it this morning and was thinking about the service. I was actually, Judy, I guess using the nursery, but I told her I was coming to the church. I went down to the garage, put my stuff in the car. And like the Lord said, no, I want you to do the other message. And so I ran back upstairs. He said, what are you doing here? I said, well, did you forget something? I said, well, as a matter of fact, I did. I said, the Lord laid on my heart to preach this message this morning. And if the Lord impresses me that way, I just do it. I don't question. In fact, that's really what this message is kind of about. And a thought that the Lord gave me. And I want you to look in Deuteronomy chapter 29, page number 248, if you have a Scofield Bible. Have you ever experienced something and you said to God, why? Why me? Why us? Why them? In the prayer room this morning, and I did not know it till this morning, and Brian brought it up in our prayer room. You'll remember several months, two or three months ago, there was a missionary family in West Africa. They had only been on the field for about 3 weeks, and the man and his son rode into town, and the man was shot and killed, and his son was injured in crossfire in West Africa. Well, they just found out just a week or so ago, or a little while here recently, that the wife has a terminal liver cancer. So, and they've got eight children. You think about this. Here's a man and his wife and eight children. The man gave up his job. The wife, you know, left all that she was comfortable with, the kids, left school and friends and family. They raised their support to be missionaries to serve the Lord. Good, solid missionaries. But over there to serve God, and in less than 6 months, the husband is dead, the son is injured, one of the sons, and the wife has terminal cancer. So they've had to, and the kids have had to come home, and they, you know, said her liver was just totally eat up with cancer. If anybody had the right to say why, I think it would be them. I mean, they gave up everything to serve God. Gave up all their comforts. And listen, if you think being a missionary is easy, go on a missions trip somewhere. I'll tell you, go on a missions trip to anywhere, you'll find out it's not as easy as you might think. So if anyone had, and then I thought about the Apostle Paul, who in fact begged God 3 times to take this infirmity from me. If anybody had the right to say to God, why me? Why? I mean, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten several times. One time with 40 lashes, save one. Was imprisoned several times. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was let out of a window in a basket so he could escape death. And finally, had his head chopped off, serving God. If anybody had the right to say why, I guess it would have been Paul. I am not chastising you or asking God why. That brings me the text and to the message this morning. If I want to preach for a few moments on this thought, secret things of the Lord. The secret things of the Lord. You look in chapter 29 of the book of Deuteronomy as Moses is giving his final message to the Israelites before he goes up in the mountain to die because he disobeyed God by striking the rock. God said, I'm going to let you see the promised land, but I'm not going to let you go over. So Joshua has now been appointed the leader. Moses is giving really his last sort of instructions. Here in chapter 29, he's reminding Israel, not only reminding them, but he's going to tell them something that they did not expect to hear. They've been 40 years in the wilderness, 40 long years in the wilderness. When they left Egypt, they were 2 weeks from the promised land, but because of their unbelief and their murmuring and complaining, God said, I'm going to destroy this generation. So now, the older folks, that generation of those Israelites died in the wilderness making the trip. So now the next generation, the young adults and the children, they've grown up now in the wilderness. They're adults and older adults, and now they're getting ready to go into the promised land. They're all excited. Man, they can't wait to get over there. The spies have already gone over and said, man, Joshua and Caleb said, we can take it. Said, we can take it. Said, man, you talk about a land of milk and honey. Said, we even brought some proof, and they had to carry a bunch of grapes on a stave. They were as big as basketballs, literally. And, boy, they were all excited. Moses now is beginning, and I'm going to read the whole chapter here because I also want to look at some verses in chapter 30. Notice, if you would, in verse 1 of chapter 29, I'm not going to ask you to stand because I'm going to read several verses, and I don't want you to have to stand. I'm going to be jumping around a little, so I'll allow you to sit this morning. Now, these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen, attention to that, ye have seen all that the Lord, where am I at here? I lost my place. Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, signs, and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. I'll stop there for a moment. Moses, God is through Moses reminding Israel of all that they had seen thus far. And if you read the rest of the chapter, we're not going to. He reminds them of coming out of Egypt. He reminds them of the Red Sea. He reminds them that although they were 40 years in the wilderness, their clothes or their shoes never wore out. They had the same suit, same clothes and same pair of shoes for 40 years. They did not wear out and they didn't go out of style. He reminded them about the rock that gave them water. He reminded them how that God cared for them and took care, how God fed them. They didn't have to eat bread in the wilderness. In other words, there was no way to make bread in the wilderness. They couldn't stop long enough to harvest a wheat field. They didn't have time to plant one. They were on the move all the time. So what did God do? He gave them manna from heaven. The Bible calls that angel's food. And then later, out in the middle of nowhere, they begin to murmur that, hey, you know, I'd like to have a little meat on my sandwich. And so he sends them quail. They complained about that, and God said, you know, I'm going to make you eat it until it's coming out of your nose. What God did, yeah, I know, you. That's what happened. I mean, isn't it amazing how God does for us, and then we complain about it? That's a shame. You may not have as much as some. I'll guarantee you we got more than most. Well, then he goes on. Notice in verse number 14, he said, now he's talking about the old covenant that he made with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, how that Israel would be a great nation, and that they would be blessed. And God said, though, but as long as you don't worship other gods, you know, they're fixing to go into Canaan. Canaan was a Gentile, a heathen land. They were going to encounter false gods. So he told them, leave those false gods alone. Notice what he said, verse 14. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us. Now, if you remember back, there were several times, and one time in particular, when the Gibeonites, who were not Jews, they were not Israelites, they were Canaanites, they were heathens, and they approached Joshua and said, hey, we don't want you to kill us. We don't want you to destroy us, and we're on your side. And without praying, Joshua makes a covenant with them. As long as you stay with us and serve us, you'll be safe. That's what happened. So when Israel got into the promised land, there were Gentiles. You know, we think that Gentiles didn't start getting saved until the book of Acts. But God was saving people in the Old Testament. And he said, not only you, the Jews, the Israelites, he said, but those who standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. Moses, God is through Moses now making a prophecy concerning you and me. Was anybody here when Israel crossed into the promised land? Was anybody there? Ralph, yeah, might have been. I don't know. And so what God is saying is there's going to be people under this new covenant. And another word for covenant is testament. And we are living in the New Testament age. God said way before the book of Acts, 1600 years before the book of Acts, that there were going to be people with us who are not even here yet. Thank God for that new covenant. Look at verse 19. And it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, and he blessed himself in his heart. Now think about this. These are people who think because they know something about God, here is how they're going to live. Now read it with me. Follow me. And it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart. Notice God's not blessing him. He's blessing himself. And here's what he says. I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. In other words, I'm going to live like I want to. I know enough about God. I believe in God. That sound familiar? Are you going to heaven when you die? Well, I believe in God. Well, James said, if you believe in God, you do well. The devil believes and trembles. That doesn't make him a saved devil. See, believing in God, that's man's way of inserting himself into the equation. Because the new covenant says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So now we find that even though God is reminding them of all that he's done, already some of that crowd has decided, I'm going to do what I want to. No God, no preacher, no Sunday school teacher, no parent, no, nobody's going to tell me how to live. Well, let's read on. Look at verse 22. What's the result of that? So that the generation to come of your children shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say when they see the plagues of that land. In other words, God said, I'm going to punish you. Now, they weren't expecting this. They were expecting God to say, let's open the gates and go on in. We're going to have us a big time. But always remember, God does not wink at sin. And so he said, what are they going to say? What he's telling them is they're going to go into captivity once they get into Canaan. Who wants to? That's like saying, go to buy a new car. The man, you sign for the car and say, here's the keys. Now you're going to have a wreck when you get to the red light. Now you say, there ain't no way. I'll go the other direction. Okay, that's fine. Because nobody can tell you that here. But if God said, when you get to that red light, you're going to have an accident, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have an accident. Now, God doesn't say that. But what God does say is, I'm not going to wink at sin. I'm going to punish sin. And he said that when people see that, now remember, I'm talking about the secret things of the Lord. So when they see that, they're going to say, and when they see the plagues of the land and the sicknesses which the Lord has laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning. Wait a minute, I thought it was milk and honey. That's how it was described in the beginning. And that's how God wanted it to be. Now, not literal milk and honey, but it's the idea of a plentiful land. But now God said, oh, and by the way, when all this comes about, now remember, they ain't even crossed over yet. They're waiting to get over there and get their inheritance and get going. And God's already telling them, not going to last. Now, can I insert this right here? You think they had a good reason and opportunity to say, why, God? Why? Well, let's read on. Here it is. Look at verse 24. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto the land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? God, by me. By God, why is this happening to me? Somebody tell me why. Tragedy has occurred. An unknown circumstance has arisen. Things are now out of your control. And you say, but I'm a Christian. Why is God doing this to me? Look at verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord, our God. But those things, listen, remember what I started out with when Moses said, the things that you have seen? God said, remember the things you've seen now. Now look at verse 29. He said, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed, seen, belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. God said, I'm not going to tell you everything on my heart. He said, number one, if I did, you couldn't take it. He said, and number two, I want you to trust me. Nowhere in the Bible does God tell us we cannot ask why. But just because we don't get the answer we're looking for doesn't mean that God is at fault. Are you with me this morning? Somebody here needs this message. I'm telling you, I was getting in my car and God said, go get that other message. Even though there are some things about God that we do not understand, we need to be committed to walking with God, because there is plenty of things about God that we do know, or we can know. So let's not focus on the why, let's just focus on Him. Let me give you the message, and I hope it'll come across as God gave it to me. Look at go to chapter 30 and look at verse 9. Notice it says, I'm going to read this quickly. Now, I don't want to keep you too long, but I want you to get this, folks. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work thine hand. Sounds pretty good to start with, after all that they just got. He said, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land for good, for the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good. In other words, God said, hey, it's all going to get better. Now you can either love me and serve me now and enjoy it now, or go your own way, make peace with yourself, make self more important than me, but don't worry, one of these days, somebody's going to come back to me. I don't know about you, but I'm the first to raise my hand and say I've walked away from God before and tried to do it my own way, and it was a total 100% failure, but God said, hey, he's coming back. And I'm glad when I did, I didn't have to beg and plead and deal and cross off things on a list. I said, God, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, and I want you to forgive me. He never even blinked. He said, okay. He said, I knew you'd coming back. He said, I didn't answer you when you asked me why, but I knew you were coming back. See, there's a lot of things about God we're not going to know till we get to heaven. So quit trying to force him to give it to you now. Number one, he's not going to. You can't force God to do anything. And number two, I'm telling you, if in the New Testament Paul said that we think it was Paul, but he said a man, went up in the third heaven and he saw all these things, and the Lord said to this man, do not write what you see. He said, because it's unlawful for you to write. And then Paul said, and there's not enough volumes in the world to hold it. There are things about God in heaven that all the volumes of the books of the world could not contain information and the joy and the glory. And God said, if you're saved, that's where you're going when you die. You talk about having something to look forward to. Don't worry about why. Worry about how. How do I get there? I'll tell you how you get there. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and give up your wickedness and your sin and quit living for self and give your life to God. Let me go along here. Notice in verse 9, the provision of God. God, now the Bible says in the New Covenant, in the book of Philippians, my God shall supply your need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. That tells me that God, if it's His riches in glory, do you think He's going to run out? Do you think that He's going to have a shortage? Do you think that the ozone layer up there is going to get a hole in it and fall apart? I'm telling you, God is still God. And if He said, I'll provide your need, don't ask Him why, ask Him when. Don't say, God, why can't I have this? Or why can't... Just say, Lord, you give it to me if you want me to have it, and when you're ready for me to have it. And to God be the glory, great things He hath done. And then remember what He's already done for you. That's why Moses started his soliloquy. But you remember all that you've seen now. He said, I'm fixing to tell you some stuff, but before I do, kind of think back to what you've already seen. I mean, the parting of the Red Sea, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire at night. Mara turned into fresh water by throwing a piece of wood in there, which is a picture of throwing the cross into wickedness, and it'll change that wickedness into right. I'm telling you, and the water out of the rock at Horeb, and all, man, listen, and the manna and the quail and the same clothes worn for 40 years. And never wore out. I mean, how much else do I have to do? Amen. Hey, folks, listen to me. You got a house to live in. It may not be the nicest one on the block, but it keeps the rain off your head. And it keeps the cold out of your bedroom. And your kids have got clothes to wear. And they may not have $1,000 shoes. But the Red Bull Jets will do when you're barefooted. And you got something to eat, something to drink, and a good church to go to, and a country where you're free. What else does he have to do? Notice in that verse 9, the provider says, the Lord thy God. It's not the government. Hello. It's not welfare. It's not food stamps. It's not charity. He said, the Lord thy God. Hey, I'm glad that God, my God is not on Pennsylvania Avenue. My God's on Hallelujah Boulevard. My God sits on the throne. And He's the provider. Then notice in that verse, not only the provider, but the plenty. The plenty. He said, I will make thee plenteous. He didn't say, I'll just get you squeaking by. Hey, Christian, if you're just squeaking by, maybe there's something wrong with you. Because God doesn't just make you squeak by. He may not give you a Cadillac, but you don't have to ride around in a rusted out Toyota either. I'm not a health and wealther, so don't misunderstand. I'm telling you, God will give you what you need. And the Bible said sometimes He'll give you the desire of your heart. I'm going to move on. There's the provider. There's the plenty. And then notice the promise in verse 9. He said, "For the Lord thy God, for the Lord will again rejoice over thee." I'm glad. Listen, time after time, I have walked away. I've gotten self-involved. And I've turned from God. And I go to God and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me." And listen, I didn't get saved again. I just got right with God. And the Bible said God forgave me and took me back. And I think there's rejoicing when Christians get right with God because He loves us. If my child was gone, I pray for that family, that girl at USC got killed. Isn't that sad? Oh, dear God. Listen, you better be careful what you get in. I'm telling you. Hey, I don't know anything about that girl, but I'm telling you, if it happened to me, I'm telling you, don't cry over me. I'd be in heaven. But I'm telling you, I'm glad when I walk away. I don't have to say, "Why, God, are you letting this happen?" I just say, "God, I'm sorry. I repent. Forgive me. I want to come back." And God, just like the prodigal's daddy, runs out there and kisses me on the neck. He said, "I'm going to rejoice with you again." That's the provider. Don't ask why. Look at the provider. Don't ask why. Number two, look at the precepts. Look at the precepts of God. You've got a whole book of promises in your lap. Look at verse 10 quickly. I've got to hurry. Boy, I'm telling you, I have myself a time here. The Lord, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, He doth not speak audibly to us. Here He is. Here He is. He's talking to us. This is the infallible, inerrant, everlasting, God-breathed, Holy Ghost-inspired words of God. These are His precepts. He said, man, before you ask why, look in the book. Get in the book. You know why a lot of people ask why? Because they don't know anything about what God's doing. They spend no time in the Word of God. Amen now. Hey, notice, He said in verse 11 that these precepts are not hidden. Look what it says in verse 11. "For this commandment, which I command me this day, it is not hidden from thee." Don't ask why. See if God told you about it already. Because every situation of your life is touched upon in this book. And there doesn't need to be any more. He covered all the ground from Genesis to Revelation. So they're not hidden. Look at verse 12 and 13. They are not hindered. Verse 12, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, and that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land where ye go over Jordan to possess it." In other words, God is communicating with them. God said, "You go over, serve me, and you'll have the best life ever, and so will your children and your grandchildren." Or, preacher, I'd love to be here, but I got to work on Sunday because I got to provide for my kids. God said in His Word, if you'll obey me and serve me, I'll take care of your kids for you. Oh, yeah. And not just feed them and clothe them, but I'll make sure they understand how good God is, and one day your kids are going to have to make a decision for Christ. And if they don't see it from mom and dad, they're going to run to this world for what they're looking for. Precepts of God are not hidden. They're not hindered. Look at verse 14. They're not hoarded. I'll tell you right now, boy, God wrote this book just for me, and it's all mine, and I'm not sharing it with nobody. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved, and I'm not sharing it with nobody. I'm glad I belong at Anchor Baptist Church. We got our four and no more. We don't want nobody else. That's wrong, wrong, and wrong. Notice verse 14 quickly, and I got to hurry along. "But the word is very nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest," somebody help me here, "Nikios," that's the Greek word for the Masoretic word that I can't pronounce, but they're the same word, it's the word Nike. You know the little swoosh? You know what their motto is, don't you? Just do it. Just do it! That's what God said! And I give it to you, don't ask why, just do it! I'm telling you, wearing Nike tennis shoes aren't going to make you an all-star basketball player. I've tried. When I didn't have them, I could jump that high off the ground. I bought some, and I could jump that high off the ground. It's no difference. It's not the shoes. It's the wearer. If you're asking why, it's not the God who has the answer. It may be the person who is asking. Because you're more concerned about satisfying your own self than trusting in the Lord. Gotta hurry and close. Look at verse number 14. See the provider, secret thing of the Lord. Provider, precepts. Look at verse 14. See the proclamation. Verse 14, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses," that's chapter 31, wrong chapter. You go back chapter 30, there we go. "But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and thy heart that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good." Now, by the way, here's your choice. Here's your choice. God said, you can serve me or serve mammon. Can't do both. God said, you got to love me and hate the world or love the world and hate me, but you can't do both. And that's not a New Testament concept. That's a heaven concept. Because God said right here in the Old Testament, He said that I am the God, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Take your choice. Can't live on one side of the comma. Can't live on the wrong side of the comma and then expect God bless you. And if you're on the wrong side of the comma, you can ask why all you want. You're never going to get the answer. But you live on the right side of the comma. You live on the righteous side. Life. Good. Yeah, I'm telling you, when you're on that side of the comma, you don't even ask why. You just trust God because He's been good to you already. If God's been this good to you thus far, what makes you think He's going to stop? Show me anywhere in the Bible, so I'm going to quit. Now, He may withhold if you're on the wrong side of the comma. All you got to do is get on the right side of the comma. And then He said in Malachi, "Then I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." So there won't be room enough to receive it. You'll have to tell Him to quit. Stop blessing me, Lord. I can't handle it. I've never been there yet. I'd sure like to know what that feels like. But you know why? Because I'm flesh. And there are days when I live on the wrong side of the comma. Don't look at me like I'm the only one here. I'm just like you. I'm sinful flesh like you are. Amen. It's the proclamation, verse 15 to 19. God reveals a choice. And if you're here without Jesus Christ, you have a choice to make. You're either going to trust God or walk out of here lost. Your choice. So when the time comes, do not blame God because you didn't get saved. And when you're standing at the great white throne of judgment and you look God in the face and say, "Why, God?" You know what He's going to say? Because that's what you wanted. That's what you wanted. Notice in verse 16, God reveals a command. Quickly, I know it's quarter to 12. My gracious, I'm going to finish. "And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God." That's not a suggestion. That's a command. God didn't say, "I'd like you to love me." He said, "I want you to love me." Now, He's not saying that to the sinner. He's saying that to the saint. Because if He said that to the sinner, and that makes it compulsory. That makes Him forcing it on you, and God doesn't force His love on you. He offers it to you. Once you get born again, hey, my dad never told the neighbor's kids what to do, but he told me what to do because they weren't in the family, but I was. Then notice in that same verse 16, God reveals a consequence. You do understand that every decision you make, there's going to be a consequence, don't you? There's got to be an answer. There's got to be something that comes from every decision you make. Look what it says again in verse 16, quickly. He said, "To walk in His ways and keep His commandments and statutes and judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. If thine heart turn away," verse 17, "so that thou wilt not hear, shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you." He didn't say I announce. He said, "I denounce." You know what that means? Now I'm going to talk bad about you. Now I'm going to pronounce judgment on you. He said, "I'm going to denounce unto you this day, ye shall surely." Not only does that sound like a consequence, but that sounds like He means it. You realize that God does not joke around, don't you? Sometimes we're guilty of kind of taking God's things and kind of making a joke out of it. God does not joke around. He said, "If you're not going to do right," He said, "you're going to perish." It's the concept. Now, remember what He said, though, before that. If you do right, it's life and good. Who doesn't want life and good? Here's the problem. They want it their way, not God's way. When their way doesn't work, they never look in the mirror and say, "Why?" They look to a God they don't even believe in and say, "Why? Not fair! I can't believe that a loving God would do this to me!" He's not even in the picture. If you're not saved, He's there, but He's not in your life. You expect Him to barge into your life and just control it? If He did that, you know what? You'd fuss at Him about doing that. Because even now you might say, "Well, I'll tell you right now, my husband's not telling me what to do. My wife's not telling me. We got kids now. My parents didn't tell me what to do." And we are so far off base in this country. No wonder we're in the shape we're in. But as I've told you before, you know why people blame God for things? Because He doesn't answer back audibly. So they blame God because they didn't argue. They didn't have to. Just remember the secret things of God. God's got your answer. God got the answer. Oh, yes. Whatever decision you make, don't you worry. In the final analysis, God's going to be on the throne. And you're not. And I'm not. Well, there's the proclamation. Well, let me give you and this is truly the last one. You've been so attentive, and I appreciate it. Again, all I know is to obey God, folks. Notice the presence of God in verse 20. Sometimes the provision of God could be secret. It's God's provision. Sometimes, ever read your Bible and get done and think, well, that, you know, that was 15 minutes. Didn't get a whole lot. That doesn't mean you quit reading it, because the secret things of God are found. The precept. Proclamation. You know, I'd love to tell people about Jesus, but, you know, here lately, God hadn't done much for me. Really? Read this book. And by the way, remember what you've already seen? Has God, anybody here that God has never blessed in your whole life? But if you've seen one, that's enough. Now notice the presence of God in verse 20. Sometimes you'll feel like God's nowhere to be found. You ever been there? Pray, and it seems like that the gates of heaven are locked shut. Seems like God's not hearing. You're not getting an answer. The Bible says plainly that the arm of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save, and his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Don't you worry, he's getting it. But he may not be answering you the way you want him to. But he's got some secret things stored up there. And one of them is his presence. Moses wasn't expecting what he got when he said, I want to see you, God. And God said, okay. Because he'd already told him at the burning bush, take your shoes off, this is holy ground. If Moses hadn't took his shoes off, God had killed him right there. I believe that. So he knew God was not kidding. And he said, I'd like to see you, God. He said, okay. Moses said, really? He said, but now listen, you can't look at me and live. He said, so there's got to be some secret things that I'm going to do. I don't just do this for anybody, Moses. He said, first of all, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. He said, and by the way, he had never done this for anybody else in human history but Moses. He said, when I get you in there, I'm going to put my hand. That'd be enough for me. If I saw God's hand over the entrance to a cave, and I'd bust out of that cave shouting. He said, but I'll put my hand over the cave. He said, and now I don't know how he did this. He's God. He had his hand over the cave and walked past him where he saw his backside, his hinder parts. I wonder how, you know, that'd be kind of hard to do. Remember, I can't do that, but God can. He can do whatever he wants to. I don't know how he did it, but when Moses come out of there, his face glowed for 40 days and nights. I mean, he was on the mountaintop, and he never, you read it, from that moment, he never asked God why again. Even when he disobeyed God at the rock, and smote it when God said, talk to it. God said, I'm going to kill you, Moses. I got to kill you. I'm sorry. That's, you shall perish. Moses never one time said, wait a minute, God, that's not fair. How are you doing that to me? I'm your man. He understood. He disobeyed, stopped trusting God. And let me tell you something. Now, God's probably not going to operate in your life this way. I'm not saying he won't. I'm saying probably not this way, but I will tell you this. When you have the opportunity to experience the presence of God, you better get all the juice out of it you can. Look at verse 20, and I'm done. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. What the word cleave means, now in our English thought, cleaving means to cut it in half. You take a meat cleaver and you chop on a piece of meat, you split it. But the word cleave, this is the same word that God used in Genesis when he made Eve for Adam and said, now you two are one, you cleave, leave father and mother and cleave unto one another. That's not splitting, that's becoming one. That's why, let not what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. See, when man does it, he cuts it, he splits it. When God does it, young people, listen to me. Start praying now for a good, godly husband or wife, because when you do, you're one flesh and you'll never be split. That's Bible. See, I'm losing you. I better go. The presence of God in love, make him the priority of your life. In loyalty, make God the loyalty of your life. In life, make God the necessity of your life if you want his presence. Again, it's not wrong. I do not know. If it's in there, I don't find it. I've looked. Asking the question why does not mean that you're in sin or that for some reason self is involved. But when you ask why, and now that I've shown you from the scripture how God says to handle it, then you keep asking why after you've been told through the word of God, because you're not going to hear God audibly. He doesn't operate that way anymore. He doesn't have to. You've got a Bible. It doesn't write on the wall like he did for Belshazzar. He doesn't have to. You don't have to hear somebody speak in tongues. He doesn't have to do that anymore. You know why? He got the Bible. And it's in English, so I can get it. The one time you ever experience the presence of God, either in a church service, your prayer closet, when you don't ask why, and you go through this awful ordeal, and then God comes through on the other side and takes care of the whole thing, and I'm telling you, boy, and he it's just so God, it honors you so. Listen to me. Until you say to yourself, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust Nobody. God's got some secret. God does some things in secret, and you're never going to find out about it till you get to heaven. But will God ever do anything to harm you? Will God ever do anything to lessen your testimony? Will God allow? Will God do something to make you suffer when you're on the right side of the comma? He won't. Because He's God, and somebody here may be going through some tough time. Maybe you've gone through some, and you haven't come out the other side yet. And so your natural tendency is to say, why, God? I can't answer it. I don't have an answer. I didn't even have an answer when I was asking Him why. And I realized, because I'll never figure it out. I have to trust God. And folks, I'm telling you, the night, listen to me, many of you know the story, and I'm not going to tell the story. I'm not. I've told it many times. When I went through that ordeal, the night that I went to bed, I said to God, I was weeping in my bed. And I said, God, I have nowhere else to go. I have nobody else to turn to. Family can't help me. Legal system can't help me. God, I don't know what to do. And I fell asleep. I got up early the next morning and went down into the room where I prayed and pulled that blanket up over me. I didn't say one word. I got the blanket up over my head to pray. And in my heart, and I know it, God said, I'm going to take care of it today. He said, I won't take care of it today. He said, I heard you last night. And now you're right where I want you. Now. Show me thy glory. By lunchtime that day, it was all taken care of. But then just a few hours, I finally said, God, I can't do it. He said, but I can. And the next day he said, and today I'm going to. And that's my testimony. Noon that day, he had taken care of the whole thing. And I haven't had to pray that way since. That was 2011. Thank God. Secrets. Father, we love you today.
I know I've kept folks a long time, but I have absolutely no doubt. You told me I was going to preach out of Titus this morning. And you said, no, I want you to preach this one this morning. I had to unlock the door and turn off the car and run back upstairs, and that's hard enough for me to do, Lord. I had to run back upstairs, and Judy said, what are you doing? I said, well, I forgot something. Got back in the car, rode over here to the church, and I felt like I was in the perfect will of God. Lord, I preached this message, and I wish I could have refined it a little more, maybe. I appreciate the folks being so attentive here this morning. I hope they didn't hear me. I hope they heard you. Lord, there are people here this morning who are not saved. They're not saved. They cannot say that I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Lord, they'll live their whole life asking why to somebody. Because they want somebody to explain to them why their sin has brought this upon them. By their unbelief and their mistrust of the God they say they believe in. They say they believe in God, but they won't trust His Son Jesus to save them. And they want to blame somebody for their sinful life. But there's nobody to blame but them. But if they'll get saved, I'm not saying that their life's going to be perfect, but it'll be new. It'll be different. It'll be wonderful. And when we ask why, then God will remind us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. There you go. That's about as simple as I know to say it. Lord, save that sinner today. Cut through that wicked pride. And may they come to this altar and say, I don't want to be lost anymore. I want to be saved. Lord, there may be folks here born again, some a little while, some a long time. And they have, are, or are going to go through some very difficult times because man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. But if they'll just learn this great principle of Deuteronomy 29 and 30. Now, true, in the context of Scripture, it was directed to the Israelites. But the Word of God is for everybody, for all seasons. So we can learn from it. There are folks here who have been saying why instead of just trusting God. They don't have to come down here and tell me all about it. Unless they want to, I'll listen. But you see, God, I can't really, other than pray with them and try to encourage them, I can't answer their question. But you can. So, Lord, there may be some who need to come to this altar and get on their face and say, God, I may never know why, but I want you to know that I'm going to trust you because of what I've already seen. I know that you're still in business. And I'm going to trust you for the rest of my days.
But Lord, throughout these difficult days, if you'll just show me your glory, I'll be satisfied. Please, God, please help them. I've been helped, Lord. I know how it works. I know that it works. Help them. Help them, I pray. Bless the invitation in Christ's name. Amen. We're standing.